Welcome to the Thank You Rob podcast. I'm your host, Rob.
Thanks, Rob.
You're welcome.
Cool.
Co-host today is Big Jess of the Unknown Prophets fame, or solo fame.
It is.
However you want to look at it.
Out here in Woodbury.
Straight out of.
Checking the scene, you know what I'm saying?
Straight into Woodbury.
Yes, indeed. 94 to Landau Lane or something like that.
don't get too specific. Right. There's people out there looking for me.
Oh, damn. That's right. All right.
No, okay. Just to recap, last week I had Anna Lyrical of the Background Noise Crew on the show. We talked about Otis Redding.
Nice.
Big Jess, you got any feelings? How do you feel about Otis?
I like to sample Otis.
Yeah. He's very sample friendly.
Sampleable.
Sampleable?
Yeah, he's dope.
Yeah.
Can't hate on Otis.
Do you get into the R&B soul
music? Back like that era, yeah. I mean, my wife is super into that stuff. I was more like 90s R&B, you know what I'm saying? Like nice. New Edition and Jodeci and all that.
Color Me Bad.
Mm-hmm. Can't lie.
Yeah. I wanna sex you up.
Yep. That's the joint.
Nice.
Actually, that just came on the radio the other day, and I was listening like as like a producer. I break stuff down in my head, you know, like to see what's going on. And I don't think there was another voice in that song but his. So I'm wondering what the hell the other three dudes were doing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that was kind of random.
You know what's funny? I don't know that guy's name from Color Me
Bad. It's like Brian something, I think.
There's one of the guys who just recently, like within the last 3 years, got arrested for beating his wife or something. And
He really wanted to sex her up, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
I don't. I've been.
I think they're Canadian, if I'm not mistaken.
Really?
I don't know. People don't beat their wives in Canada. They're way too nice.
That's what I'm saying, man.
Yeah, they're not Minnesota nice, but Canadian nice.
They take it to a whole nother level up there.
Yeah,
true indeed.
So we talked Otis Redding, and one of the points I made in that episode was the beauty of music is that I don't listen to a lot of new pop music, popular music. You know what I mean? But I also didn't listen to older music when growing up. You know what I mean? I just kind of listened to the radio because I didn't know any better.
Sure.
My parents weren't like, they had records and stuff, but I guess I never really got into them. But now that I'm growing up and I'm like, okay, I don't know who 2 Chainz is, but he sounds terrible. You know what I mean? I don't even give people a chance, which is my problem.
I think I hate on everybody just from the jump. You know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah. I think it's just instinct as you get older.
Right, right.
Or Waka Flocka Flame. Mm-hmm. Again, your name, I don't like it, so I'm not going to listen to you. I'm sorry.
Right.
So for every new artist that comes out, there's like 5 old artists that I can really listen to and get into.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the beauty of working backwards in the music catalog, you know?
True. Very true.
So, Thank You Rob podcast. I just want to plug up my sponsor, my unofficial sponsor, Pearson Salted Nut Rolls. Don't be a butthole. Eat a Pearson Salted Nut Roll.
Sounds good right about now.
Yeah.
Is that really a slogan?
It is now. It's my slogan on the show.
Nice.
It's always good to see people's reaction.
I like
that. But today we're going to talk about a classic hip hop album that's probably number one on a lot of people's lists.
Vanilla and Ice. Not that one. Okay.
To the Extreme?
To the Extreme. God damn.
That's all right. That's
so
all right.
So good. Everybody knows it.
Yeah.
They can't hate it.
It's obviously not number one on your list.
No, it's not.
No. We're talking about Notorious B.I.G., Biggie Smalls.
Baby.
Ready to Die.
Yes, sir.
So that came out in 94. Where were you when this was happening, when this album came out? Were you like right on top of it when it came out? Or?
Yeah, I believe I was. I was a senior in high school, so we were listening to a bunch of stuff that we shouldn't have been listening to, and that was probably one of them. And I probably got the CD from Cheapo, I'm guessing. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure because I can see the yellow sticker on it because it was used. But to this day, I mean, I have lyrics that just are stored in my brain, and like certain days it's like special ed, and certain days it's NWA random stuff, and certain days it's Biggie, and it's just like, you know, you listen to like, you just were playing it a little bit and you just listen to the first couple seconds of a song and it just, everything comes back
right,
in a second.
Yeah.
You know what
it's
I mean?
It's a classic. Yep. Yeah, absolutely. So it looks like most of the production on the album was Easy Mo B.
Yeah, man.
Looks like there's some Lord Finesse, some Blues Brothers with a Z, Blues.
Yeah, that's the first I've heard of that.
Looks like Puffy did some producing there too, probably his earliest. I'd say.
I'm going to guess his producing, quote unquote, was him going, uh-huh, yeah, Yeah. Uh-huh. Right. Bad Boy.
But yeah, any standout tracks that really caught you?
Well, the first one I'm guessing was Juicy was probably the single.
Right. I think that was the first single.
And, you know, I can kind of even picture the video a little bit. I think Faith Evans, like the pool scene or something. Mm-hmm. Like I remember Faith Evans being in that. And
that would definitely capture a young man's eye.
I mean, I wasn't looking at the pool. I was looking at the flotation devices. Nah, but yeah, I mean, Juicy was like everything about it, just from the sound to his voice. I mean, I know they sampled something for that too, but it's just instantly was like, yo, I'm here. You know what I mean? And I remember hearing him on the Who's the Man soundtrack with the Party and Bullshit.
Right, yep.
And I was like, damn, this is dope too. But then, you know, when Juicy came up.
At that point, he wasn't Notorious B.I.G. I think he was just
Big.
Big,
yeah,
or something like that.
Yeah. And but like when Juicy came out, I was just like, wow, this is, you know, and he was talking about nothing I could relate to. But
right.
Like I said, being, you know.
That's what interests
most
people, at least me.
Yeah, I agree. Because I was bumping a ton of N.W.A. and Lord knows there was nothing I could relate to on that.
Same here.
Yeah, just I remember that Juicy, and then when I got the album, there's something about the production too on that. Like the DJ Premier's, that cut was probably one of them that I wasn't drawn to right away. But like all the Easy Mo B stuff, all the So You Wanna Be Hardcore, which, you know what I'm saying, like all that, like the Warning and the Machine Gun Funk, like that stuff is just like I want to rap over that right now. Like I'm gonna try to find those instrumentals for a show and just rap over them. But
yeah.
I don't know, man. And like Big is like his stuff isn't like super creative or super like he's not doing anything that you would, you know, when you categorize him as, you know, kind of like Tupac, like they weren't doing anything that was like, wow, this is amazing. But mm-hmm. I think it was just, it's something about the delivery, I yep. think the voice and just the way that they conveyed their message. It was just like, man, this is like, I want to be in this right now. Like me and my bitch, like I hadn't, you know, I didn't have no bitch, but I was singing the song, you know, like. So it's just, and it's still, and I think what is super cool about talking about this album is this is almost 20 years old, and you could pop it on right now,
yeah,
and it could still hold, you know, to the new sound that's, you know, coming out right now. It would still sound quality and wouldn't sound dated, in my opinion,
right.
You know what I mean? So I think that's super dope.
So I think we got something to look forward to here next year, 20th anniversary edition or something.
Right. For sure.
You know Bad Boy is going to capitalize on that.
You know it. And probably Puffy's going to go back in and be like, I want to add more uh-huhs. Yeah. Baby.
Something we noted here when we were just kind of reviewing the album here, the first two tracks, ironically, the first track samples Snoop Dogg song, I believe.
Yeah, was it Gin and Juice?
It might have been Gin and Juice. Okay. The second one sampled a Dre song. So there's two Death Row samples in the first two tracks. That was kind of ironic.
Mm-hmm.
Suge Knight was getting paid off of that, and he was still like, fuck that.
Mm-hmm. Suge.
I wonder what kind of friends Suge Knight has, you know? Like, do you think he's changed, to this day?
Did you say friend or friends? who knows, man? I mean, just think about it. Who would really want to hang around him? Because it's only a matter of time for he's going to turn on you, too.
Right,
so.
Yeah. Hang you over a balcony, shake money out of your pockets. Everything comes back to Vanilla Ice here today.
Oh, yeah, I know. I see that. I was just about to say A1A Beachfront Avenue, you know what I'm saying? That's in my brain, too. And don't front like it ain't in y'all's brains, too, because...
Beachfront Avenue.
Jealous.
On that note, what kind of friends does Sean Puffy Combs have?
Mm. Well, he's probably more likable than Suge.
You know what? He's probably weeded out the people that are around for the money
mm-hmm.
about this time.
Yeah, I don't... Like, I mean, Puffy's whole thing with the rapping, like, it bugs me to no end because, I mean, if he's the guy in the studio that's like, let's try this on this part or let's, you know, do this harmony here, that's cool. Like, every song needs that. Like, mm-hmm. if your engineer can't do that for you. But there comes a point where if you can't, like, be an artist, like, if I try to sing, I sound really bad. So I just don't sing.
Right.
You know what I mean? And... I just stick to what I can do, and if you can't write a rap, you shouldn't be a rapper, in my opinion. Like I know there's entertainment in things, and I guess maybe I don't know. You could probably say, well, what about singers? You know, singers probably don't write their stuff too. And I just it takes, you know, being a dude who writes all this stuff and makes all this stuff and engineers and mixes all my stuff. Like I take a lot of pride in that, and I think that when you convey, if you're trying to convey, like take a Missing You, like the one that he rapped about Biggie.
Okay.
Like, somebody wrote that. Like,
he didn't write that, you're saying?
No.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's like, how can I believe that?
Right. I see what you're saying.
I want you to come and tell me how you feel. I don't want somebody else to write it for you. Like, that is so fake to me that it bugs me. It just irritates me. But
it's funny that you say that, because it's like, you know, there's a lot of very popular love songs that are like, they're general. It's like, I love you, I miss you, whatever, we broke up and I'm heartbroken.
Right.
But that song in particular is like, it's supposed to be Puff Daddy missing Biggie, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And this is like not just something that impacts their relationship, obviously, that they had, but, you know, it's something that you feel the emotion of because, you know, everyone had their own relationship with him in, you know, listening to the music.
Sure. Yep.
You know, but I did not know that. Now knowing that, I've lost a lot of respect for him. Not that I had much to begin with, right. But I mean,
it's pretty well known that he doesn't write his stuff. And there's some guy on Twitter that I follow that I think he must be a ghostwriter, and I go back and forth with him whenever he talk about Puffy, and he would be like, "Oh, Puffy's Last Train to Paris was like a great album." I'm like, "But he didn't write none of that. How was it great?" You know, he's like, "But you don't need to write it," and blah blah blah. And so I get lost in the Puffy thing. Like, even Dre's another one. Like, when I found out that Jay-Z wrote Still Dre, I'm like, you know, I know that I love New Edition, and Can You Stand the Rain is like my favorite, like, R&B song ever. And I know they didn't write it, but when I was younger, I didn't know that. So I probably am more partial to that because, you know, I was young and I didn't know. But when rapping is just not hard to do. I don't care who you are. It's not hard to write lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
So for you to really need somebody to write your own lyrics says you shouldn't be doing it, in my opinion.
Right.
So welcome to the Hate of Jesse Hates podcast, live in Rob's house. And, you know, we're live in Woodbury, and I'm hating on everything. Hate on everything.
That's good. This is real. This is real.
Call it hate on everything. It's my new thing.
You know, I'm one that when I buy an album, like a physical copy, which I still do sometimes these days, it has to be an artist I really like.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I really appreciate album artwork. I open it up, I look at the liner notes, I look who wrote the songs, and I hate when I see that someone didn't write. You know, it's one, like, I really like Yellow Wolf these days. If I were to open it up and see, like, he wrote every song except one, I'm all right with that. Mm-hmm. I don't know why that worked out that way, but, you know, for 95% of it,
that's not a bad ratio. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Alicia Keys is another one. I really dig Alicia Keys. She writes all her own stuff. And
think about that. Like, Alicia Keys can go write all her own stuff, and she's not the greatest singer, but she gets away with it.
Right.
And then when she performs, you already know that everything she did came straight from herself.
Right.
So when she sings, you really feel a connection. And I think that's super powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're going to a Puffy concert, he's probably got all his ad-libs in the track already.
Right.
And 40 people on stage. And it's just like, I could have watched one of the videos at home and saved $50. Right. You know?
Yeah. Do you remember there was that hip-hop tour? In Minnesota here, we didn't always get the hip-hop tours in our younger days. There was a tour where it had Biggie, Junior Mafia. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
They came to, like, the Metrodome, I think.
Really?
Yeah, or Target Center or something.
Hmm. Interesting.
It was so weird. I forget who was. There was someone else on there too that I was like, I'm going to that. And I was like 16.
Did you go?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. So I saw Biggie, but I wasn't, like, all into him at that point. I think it was probably they were really pushing Junior Mafia more at the time, but. I remember them playing Big Papa and just the crowd going nuts. Mm-hmm. You know, it was pretty cool.
That would have been awesome. That's one thing. Like, I don't get to many super big concerts, and that would have been a super cool concert.
Right.
To see.
Yeah. And it was, you know, I think that people here feared a hip hop concert coming to town. Like,
especially back then.
Yeah. There's going to be gunshots. Someone's going
to die. Dude, me and my friend went to a Ghetto Boys and MC Breed down at when it was Glam Slam.
Okay.
We were probably the only two white dudes in there.
Yeah.
But, like, we were, I think, I don't know who was the headliner. I want to say it was Ghetto Boys probably, and I think we saw MC Breed and then we just left. But, like, it was different back then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It kind of felt intense. For what reason, I have no idea.
Now, this was all three Ghetto Boys that were there?
I didn't see them because we left.
Oh, okay. I think she didn't even stick around.
I think it was something to do with they weren't even at the show, so they just kept prolonging it until they got there, type of thing.
Oh, right.
So we saw Breed, and then we were just waiting and waiting and waiting.
Right.
So, for all I know, they might not even have been there. I don't know.
Right.
So,
yeah, that's kind of a. I don't know if you'd count on them to be there. You know what I mean?
Sure.
They seem like one of the, maybe at that time, nowadays, probably a different story. They probably need the money now.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But I don't know about Scarface, but Bushwick Bill probably. Mm-hmm. Willie D.
Isn't it funny how it's all coming back now when cats from that era are touring? Like, I think it's super cool, but it's also like kind of sad.
It is. I agree.
You know, like Sadat X came to Honey
right
not long ago, and I was like, I'm going. You know what I mean? It was like $10. There's like 75 people there.
Really?
And I'm like, yeah, it was bad. I was kind of mad. I was like telling like Mike DeMarco promoted, and I was like, this is BS because like nobody's here. Like, do they not know what's going on? Mm-hmm. Even if you didn't know what was going on, there were still locals on the bill that people dig, and it was only $10. And I'm like, well, I'm going, and I'm glad I went because it was cool. And I actually got them on one of the honorable mentions too.
Nice.
But yeah, it's just weird. Like, I follow Drez from Black Sheep, Naughty by Nature, and they're all like doing the touring thing, which
right.
is. It's cool because I would go see it because, you know, I never got a chance to when I was younger. Mm-hmm. Like, I would definitely go, but I also, like, get weirded out when I see them now because they look old. Right. And that's weird. You know what I mean? Like, I just saw a picture of somebody from the Ghetto Boys. It was somebody I didn't recognize, but this dude, DJ Premier, took a picture with him, and I was like, wow, this dude looks like he's 58. You know what I mean? Like,
Oh. So do you remember the first Biggie song you heard that caught you into the album? I know you said you heard the Who's the Man.
Well, so, Juicy was probably the one.
Juicy, right. Oh, you did say that.
Yeah, but, you know, just getting into the album, you know, listening to it, because that was one of them you could listen to front to back.
Right.
Just the way it started, man, I would get into, like, track four. I think four was, like, Machine Gun Funk, or maybe it was three or something, and just let it roll, you know what I mean? I just let it go, you know, so.
I remember the Juicy video because of Faith Evans.
Swimming Pools.
Yes. For some reason, that song did not catch me, though. Big Papa caught me.
That was another one, yep.
Yeah.
That was another real big, very cool. Like, radio. Yep.
And then, you know what? I want to say, I didn't even get the album until, do you remember Craig Mack, Flav In Your Ear? Mm-hmm. There was a remix to that had, I don't know, was Biggie in the remix? But I know LL Cool J, I think, was in there.
Like Redman, maybe, or something?
Redman. It was like a bunch of, it was a cool, Busta like one
Rhymes,
of the cool,
Busta
Rhymes, yeah. It was a very cool remix. But, and I think Biggie was on there, and it was like, all right, I got to buy the album.
Right.
Yeah. But I'd say Warning was my favorite track off
I mean,
of
just
it.
Can we swear on this?
Yeah.
Okay, just the first lyrics of that song. Now, who the fuck is this? Paging me at 5:46 in the morning. Like,
yeah.
That's stuck in your head forever, you know?
So. It's just a vivid, you can just close your eyes and just play the story out in your head, you know?
Yep.
However you want.
He wasn't like the greatest, like, he wasn't like a... you know, Slick Rick telling stories or anything, but like he did paint a good picture of things, and you can make your own stuff up in your head, which is super cool, you know?
Yeah. All right. Originally I'd planned to talk about CCR, Creedence Clearwater Revival. But when Jess got here, he said, no.
No, I said, I don't even know what that is.
He doesn't know what it is. So we don't want to talk about shit he doesn't know it about, but
true.
The lead singer of CCR was John Fogerty. And he sang a song called Center Field.
Oh, shit. Really?
You know that song?
Yeah.
And I was going to say, one of the best baseball songs next to your song, the Twins one.
Oh,
yeah.
God. I forgot about that one. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How could you forget?
I don't know. Are you talking about the one that I was like, I sampled Cold as Ice?
Yes.
Okay. You know what's funny about that is that was a contest on KS95. And I just heard it while I was driving my school bus one day, and I was like, oh, I'm going to submit something. And that won me a trip to New York, two tickets to a Twins versus Yankees game, and
nice.
A hotel that was paid for.
Wow.
So cool. Like I was so happy with that. And the thing that was kind of bogus was it was like an online voting thing. So, you know, if something's going up for a poll on online, there's ways to
make
votes and, you know, votes and all that stuff. And
yeah.
I initially was ahead, and then somebody else was just like the last day somebody was just I don't know what they did, but they were so far ahead, and I was like, oh my god. So all my friends were like stayed up all night voting for me, and I ended up winning, and then I went down to the station and, you know, met the DJs and all that. But like, that was, and then after that my homie Brent was like, you should try to get this played at the Twin Stadium. So he found the guy to contact down there, and the dude was playing it at home games for like a couple of years. I had to switch up some of the names because like Pierzynski was one of the dudes. He's like, take the Pierzynski line out. And I was like, dang it. but there was like certain players that got traded or whatever. So I had to switch it up. But like,
that was actually one of the questions I was going to ask is if you're going to update it.
Yeah. Well, that guy doesn't work there anymore.
Oh, really?
They fired him, and he was there for like over 10 years, and he was really bummed about it. So, you know, they're playing top 40 stuff now and no local stuff, but he would play like Brother Ali and probably some Atmosphere. You know what I mean?
Right.
It was cool. I only got a chance to hear it once in the stadium, but I was like, man, that's me.
Right.
So it was cool.
And I did too. So sweet. Congratulations on that. That's pretty cool.
Appreciate it.
Let's take a break here to plug my sponsor.
Sweet.
Unofficially, Pearson Salted Nut Roll.
Don't be a butthole.
Eat a Pearson Salted Nut Roll.
Yes, sir.
You can eat this now if you want.
Crunchy, salty, sweet, and chewy.
With every guest, I try to... So far, I mean, you're number four. It's not like I've had a ton of them, but trying to figure out what the hell, like, describe, obviously there's peanuts, some sort of caramel that holds it together, but is that, what's the center?
That was a very good question. It's a bunch of sugar.
Yep.
But I do not know what that could possibly be. But it's pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all about the caramel, and I can't, if I say caramel and nuts, you might have to edit that out, because that's like a joke waiting to happen right there.
Made right here in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Sweet.
Shout out to Shot Paul, Minnesota.
So, next I got lined up. I got this list. I used to have I had a BlackBerry. I had this list of like it was probably like 100 things of like the cool things that people do that are very cool, you know? Like smoking is one. I don't smoke, but
it is cool.
Cool people smoke.
I do.
Cool people have tattoos, and it's all very satirical because I have tattoos, and I'm fucking cool.
You are definitely. I mean, the cool in the room right now is on. It's over 10. So.
Yeah, almost just ice baby cool. Yeah. So I wanted to kind of update this. The point of what I'm saying is when I don't know what happened to this BlackBerry that I had. I had this list, and I really wish I would have saved it, but. I made this list. I don't know what the hell I'm going to do with it. Mm-hmm. I don't even know why I did it.
Right.
Probably bored at work or something.
I bet having lines in the side of your hair was cool too.
Yes. You know? There you go. So yeah, I just want to recreate this list and see if you had anything to add.
Hmm.
Bath salts are cool.
Hmm. Yes, they are.
Yep. Meth isn't cool anymore. It was cool.
Was it?
It was, I don't know. Was it?
I don't think meth has ever been cool.
Coke was cool.
Mm. Yeah, I don't. Yeah,
no,
probably not.
No. Let me reiterate here. Whether you
right
partook to in do any it, of this. Yeah.
Okay. How about just, like how about like a Trans Am?
Yes. Yes.
Trans Am.
Or a
IROC, is that what they were called? No, I don't know. Something like that. Firebird.
T-tops.
Well, we talk about the pager thing was super cool, even if it wasn't activated.
Right.
But you know, the funny thing about that is you could tell, like, somebody would flip the thing to act like they were getting a page, and you could tell if it was, like, the turn-on beep or the actual. And I remember, because I had one that wasn't activated, so I'd flip it every now and then, and I'd know in my head that was just the turn-on beep. It wasn't the actual.
You were selling it, though. You were trying.
I was trying.
Yeah.
I was really trying to be cool, man.
iPhones are cool.
They are cool.
Like, you're... I got an Android, so gotcha. That's not cool anymore. But
iPads are cool.
iPad, there you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Remember, there was an era, I think, in the 80s. Maybe it was the 70s. Probably 70s, where vans were cool.
Mm.
Pimping out your van.
Pimping out your van. I can see that. I got a homie, man, who he's from Northeast, and he pimped out his van. Dude, he's got like a stripper pole in it, but I think the top comes off. So I'll see pictures of like just random people I know riding around with them, and it's super dope, super fresh. It kind of looks like the Green Machine, but not. There's no Scooby Doo's in there. So
right.
What else is cool? How about some kind of lip piercing or something? Or
yeah, there you go. Piercings. Yeah. Yep. Body mutilation. No, not cool.
I don't think that probably hurts. I think, maybe.
Well, most of this stuff does.
True.
I imagine.
Yeah. True. True.
You know, back to the meth thing. I mean, that does not sound like fun.
Right, no.
Just by seeing the billboards of the people before and after. God.
Dude, it's funny that, because I'm watching Breaking Bad with my wife Have you ever seen that Breaking Bad?
Oh, you know what's funny is I was going to bring that up.
Oh, really? Speaking of the meth,
because that's all you have to do is just watch Breaking Bad.
Well, no,
great show.
Mm-hmm.
Salted nut rolls are cool.
All right, very cool and chewy.
Mm-hmm.
How about Jordans?
Oh yeah.
I mean, there's some people posting on Facebook. They're waiting in line for them. Jabot yes.
Jeans. Cross colors.
Mm-hmm. Cross colors. I have some.
How about some Dubs? Are those cool? Dubs are cool.
Rims are definitely cool.
Yeah. The lowriders are cool. I don't think those will ever not be cool.
No, those are always dope.
To be honest with you.
Oh, you know what else is cool? Beats.
Beats, yeah, absolutely.
They make me want to punch myself in the face, but they're cool.
Right.
Right. Because you could get super jacked for your Beats, and you'd probably be even cool because you got, I got jacked for my Beats, yo.
And I think...
retweet.
Do you ever make a beat? Like a... I don't rap anymore. I do once in a while, but...
You can never not rap, son.
Yeah.
It's just, it may be not public, but you can't shut that switch off. I'm here to tell you.
Yeah. I've been retired for, I think, 3 years, and I've actually done like 3 songs. So one a year.
Yep.
Average.
Yeah, that's... I'm
good numbers.
You. Yeah, it's not bad.
But like I'd often write something and record it and normally release it and be like, you know, I didn't intentionally take that from somewhere I'd heard it, and it, whether it be like another song or like something a friend said, and they're like, oh, that's cool that you used that line I told you. Like, oh, yeah. It was just, you know, shout out to you.
Right, you know? Right, yep.
But on that note, I was over at MC Rents' place a couple months ago, and he was playing me a beat. You know, he's got beats for days, just like you do, I'm sure.
True.
And he was like, he's playing me this beat, and I'm like, it had this... something like that going in it, and I'm like, that sounds like Murder Rap, you know, by Above the Law.
Mm.
Remember that song?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's actually a Dre beat.
Really?
Yeah, one of his early, and I'd say that's probably one of Dre's best beats, that, and that was like 80s, 90s?
Mm. Yeah, it was
good. That was old, ago. Man.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that was him, like, mentally... he's like, what are you talking about? What song is that? And we looked it up on YouTube, and it was very similar, you know?
Yeah, that stuff does definitely take, I mean, all that, you're influenced by so many stuff in it, and it's subliminally in your head that,
right.
There'll be stuff that, I mean, I just wrote another verse for a song with Capacity, and I think in the first song I did with him on his Early Birds joint, I said something about Honey Nut Cheerios, and the second verse I wrote, he was like, oh, that's kind of cool. It's like a part two to the first verse you wrote. And I'm like, what? Because I, you know what I mean? Because like, it's so like, you know, it's just, that's just my everyday life thing that
there's something about Capacity that brings out the Honey Nut Cheerios in you.
I guess, man. Yeah. But, and I didn't go back to listen to the first one to see, but I was just like, oh, damn it. Yeah, that stuff happens every now and then.
Yeah. So let's get into this interview here. Of course, Big Jess, known of the Unknown Prophets. Are you guys a crew? Duo. It's obviously a duo.
Duo, yeah. Well, I mean, with Willie, it's a trio.
Right.
But so it's kind of group. I would say group.
Okay.
With him, yeah.
You guys started in 2000.
That's we started in actually 97, 98.
Okay.
We put out Prophecy, which was just a cassette tape, and we just printed up like 100 or something. But our first official like joint was the world premiere in 2000. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So I've never heard of that one, Prophecy.
Probably for good reason. If you ask,
no one's proud of their first.
If you ask DJ Last Word about it, he'll tell you that it's horrible.
Okay.
I don't think it's that bad. I mean, it's, you know, it was 15 years ago or more. You know, I had no sampler. It was just off of a MIDI module, and it was kind of Wu-Tang-ish, kind of
right.
My voice sounded like DMX for some odd reason. Mike's was kind of like AZ in a way. But
were those people that you were listening to at the time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, that's funny that Brother Ali recently in an interview said not to listen to...
Rites of Passage?
Rites of Passage, right. Because he said that... I think someone was asking if they'll ever re-release it, repress it or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying that everyone's first album is usually you emulating whoever you're listening to at the time, because you haven't quite found your voice yet. Right. I mean, that doesn't apply to everybody.
Who did he compare himself to?
He mentioned Rakim or someone else in there.
It's funny because for some odd reason, I hear a real Eminem delivery in his flow too. if you go back and listen. Just no, in general.
Right.
It was weird. Even kind of like POS, I kind of hear that. I don't know why I hear that, but yeah, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, I don't know about that, because even in Brother Ali's music, normally if he was influenced by somebody, he'd probably say it at some point, and I don't think he's ever mentioned that.
Well, you know what? It's funny you say that, too, because there was another song, the Cats Van Bags, Cats Van Bags with Atmosphere.
Okay.
He sounded like he was listening to a lot of Cannibal Ox. What's the dude's name? He says something about bite your arm off, and it sounds just like... I can't remember what that dude's name is. Vast Air, that's what it was.
Okay.
So I do believe that it's like we were just talking about, it's just kind of subliminally in your brain.
Right.
Whether or not you realize it or will admit it, it's just, you know, if there's not genre of music that you listen to, you're gonna get influenced somehow.
Right.
That's why, like we were saying before we were recording, I don't really like to listen to very much stuff because I'm so busy mixing and trying to create my own sound that I don't like to submit myself to be influenced, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
It's not like I don't like to listen to music, but I'm just like, you know, it's real easy to be like, dang, that's a really cool sound, I'm gonna go try to remake that myself, you know? So
yeah, I think that's good that you keep a unique sound that way, you know.
I think so too. I mean, I don't really have too unique of a sound. It's, to me, I was thinking on the way over here what I would describe it like, kind of like a modern day DJ Premier, if I may. Right. I mean, I'm not trying to say I'm as good as him, but you know, I chop kind of like a Ninth Wonder. I chop samples, you know, and kind of reformat them into my own melody. But I also have like VST plugins that I can create original music too. So right. It's kind of like I'm blending the both of old and new. You know what I mean? So it's not super. It's not like I stumbled across something that's, you know, the first to ever do it. But that's kind of what I would describe my sound as. So.
Have you always done the production for all the UPS stuff?
Yep.
Would you call it UPS?
UPs.
UPs.
UPs. Yeah.
UP lower case S.
That was, it's just...
That's what I'll call it.
Yeah, sounds good.
Ups.
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 I've done the majority. Mike can make some really good beats, too. I think there came a point, like, Brother Ali and Mike were kind of messing around with some 4-track stuff when we first got our sampler, and I think Brother Ali told Mike once, like, you just let Jess handle the beats. and I don't think it was a diss to him, but right. I think it was just, like, Mike really, lyrically, is really good, and, you know, why not just... make that, you know, concentrate on that, you know what I'm saying? So
right.
So I concentrated on the beats, but Mike man, because he plays guitar like naturally. When I met him in high school, he was a big rocker.
Okay.
And he knows, you know, chord progressions well, and he can handle the MPC too very well. So he's actually working on a new album right now. I haven't heard any of it, but I got no doubt it's going to be pretty amazing. So
right. I get down on his first solo album, of course, along with yours.
Yep. Yeah, I did. I mean, he wanted some certain sound for that, and he gave me a few records to go through for those beats, and it kind of has an overall tone that's not, like, super dark, but it's not, you know, bright, you know what I'm saying?
So. Right. So if you don't know who he's talking about, that's...
That would be Mad Son. Yes. Capital M, lowercase a, capital D, capital S, lowercase O, and a capital N.
Not to be confused with Mod Son.
No, they're totally different.
Which, by the way, I hadn't even heard of until this Rolling Stone deal happened with him, where he was like, he was in a competition in Rolling Stone magazine to become like the cover artist featured on the magazine.
Okay.
He was in like the top 10.
Really?
And I was like, who... You know, I read it, and I'm like, who the hell is this?
I know,
I didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, because that's weird. He's from Minneapolis. Mod Son, not Mad Son. I'm like, right. that's not him.
No.
You know?
No.
But I put two and two together. He's kind of a hippie-type rapper.
Yeah. I just saw him at the Meta Soda release show for the first time. I've been hearing about him, and it says Bloomington on his Twitter bio, and he's got like 40-some thousand followers, and I'm just like, that's... kind of insane. Like he's got to be doing something on some other circuit, you know what I mean? Because like he's not...
Well, I'm sure the Rolling Stone deal probably had a lot to do with that.
Well, even before that he had a ton of followers.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. I don't know if he was doing like Warped Tour stuff or something,
right.
Or what, but
yeah,
but you know, it's not really my type of music, you know what I mean? I saw a couple of videos and I'm just like, you know, it's not for me, but when it comes down to it, I cannot knock somebody's hustle, you know what I mean? So
yeah, he's doing something good.
Yep.
And it's nothing negative, you know.
No.
So is this the end of the Big Jess hate, whatever you were calling this?
Well, as I get older, I'm trying to do less and less of it. But you catch me, you know, on a certain part of someday, and I'll hate on everything. So.
So is this a good day or a bad day?
It's a good day, right?
Somewhere
now.
In between.
You know, I'm just naturally a pessimist. Like, here's a perfect example. Last night at my daughter's game, they go into overtime, and there's like 50 seconds left, right? And the other team, we're up by three, and the other team's got the ball coming. They're taking the ball, and whatever. To my wife, I'm like, this is what's gonna happen. She turns her head. She's like, I don't even want to hear you right now. they're gonna come down and they're gonna hit a three and they're gonna get fouled or something like that. So I set it up for disappointment. But if it actually goes well, then it's kind of a bonus because it's like, well, hey, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas if I would approach it like, we're gonna win, and then all of a sudden you lose, and it's like, damn it.
Yeah.
So I'm just naturally like that. Like you ask, like me and Mike, like we're total opposites when it comes to that. He's always looking for the good in something, and my glass is always half empty. So. That sucks to be like that, but today's like and when I texted you earlier, like I got out of Caribou, turned the switch on my car, and it was like nothing was happening. I'm like, what is going on right now? And then luckily I read on my phone that it was like a security pass lock thing. I waited 10 minutes, it was all good. That could have really messed my day up right there,
right?
But I'm here, you know what I'm saying? We're talking about good
you
stuff,
rappers so and your fancy cars.
No, the Saturns, man, I'm telling you.
You guys, the world premiere came out in 2000. How did you guys end up hooking up with Slug and or Brother Ali at the time? Just the local scene stuff? And
yeah, that's all Mike. Like Mike is the PR guy. He's the guy who made relationships, and I just was the guy who made it sound good. You know what I mean? And
right.
With no, like, to be totally honest, with no Mike doing that stuff, we wouldn't have had any type of success. We would have just been doing small shows or whatever, because I'm just not like that. You know what
right.
I mean? I'm even surprised that I got this many people to do the honorable mention, but that was mostly internet stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, but back then you had to go out and shake hands with people, you know? So he would be like, yo, you know, what's up and stuff. And kind of kept that Slug, and we gave him a few beats on cassette tapes and stuff. And I remember him coming down to the A440 and doing it. And he had like, we had two 12 bar verses, I think, for him. And he only had one. And he was like, oh, there's another one. And so I think he used one of his lyrics for one of his verses for the hook, and then he wrote the second one on the spot. But yeah, I mean that song too, with no feature from him back then, like, I mean, we wouldn't be where we are either. Like,
right.
That was huge for us, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, but I mean, like I say, it was all Mike. Like, I'm not very good. It's not that I'm not a people person, but I don't take rejection well. So somebody's like, nah. I'll just be like, okay. But Mike will be like, oh, all right, we'll talk to you again soon and come back at him. You know what I mean?
Right. So persistence pays sometimes, you know.
Yep.
It's good to have that. You guys balance each other out.
For sure.
So you've been working on the honorable mention deals. What spawned the idea of the honorable mention stuff?
It was probably December of last year. And I think it was, I had a song with Musab that we did a couple years ago. I made a beat for him, and I didn't think he ever actually put it out. So I was like, well, what am I going to do with this? This song's too good to just sit around and not do anything. And then I was like, at that point too, Mike and I kind of had a falling out. It was like the day after our release show for World Premiere 2. We just kind of, like, there was an opener. We went up to Duluth the next night. There was an opener up there that he wasn't digging, and I was like, what's the deal? And so we kind of just went at each other, and up until the point where we were about to perform, said a couple words, and then flicked the professional switch on and performed.
Right.
But after that, it just was never the same, and I can't figure out why. So as of then, I was like, I have, you know, all these beats that I've sitting around from 6 years ago, and I was like, I don't foresee us doing another Prophets album, you know, if ever anytime soon. I was like, well, I got this Musab song, and I haven't done any, you know, I was like, who haven't I worked with? I haven't worked with Carnage, Desdemona, Toki Wright, I mean, anybody from your camp, Rents, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a ton of people that I wanted to work with before it got too late. So I started compiling this list, and I was sending out emails, and I was only planning on doing like one with like 10, 12 songs, and then, well, I can't forget about this person. And then I was going way back to cats who were coming up, when we were coming up, like, you know, Cancer was Zach, Unikiss, and Mesh was no longer in Cancer. I was like, well, I want to get Cancer together to do a real Cancer track. You know, I want to get Muja to do a Ra Villa song. You know, things like that were nostalgic for me. And everybody was super receptive, you know, and the list just kept growing and growing and growing. And I was like, well, I can't release a 70 song thing in a zip. Right. So I just kept reaching to people, following up, making new beats. I got some VST plugins from Last Word that for 3 months straight, I was just making original stuff, which was super cool. I didn't even touch the sampler for 3 months except for drums. And so I stocked up a bunch of those beats. And then, you know, I had a couple of reasons why I wanted to do this. I wanted to get my production out there on what I was doing, work with people that I didn't get a chance to work with, and just create relationships with people. And I did. And it was super cool because Felix from High Respects, who was another one that I never got a chance to work with, he was, I've been seeing him do like little other solo songs by himself. And I gave him a couple beats and he came over. He was like, all right, I got them both done. And I'm like, what? But he thought I was rapping on him with him. And so and I was like, no, I'm not rapping on this project. He was like, oh, okay. So he came back a couple days later with two full songs. And then what started off with two full songs ended up being like 10. So I got, you know, a good amount of songs with him that is going to go on his first official solo album. That'll be out soon.
Nice.
And then like Desdemona's like, I want you to co-produce, you know, my next album. And then me and Musab stacked up a bunch of songs for an EP. And so, you know, aside from just mixing and doing the honorable mention stuff, I've, you know, branched out and created some things with people.
I'd say this is working out pretty well for you.
It is. It is. It's been a lot of work, yeah. But it's been really beneficial, I think, for me. So,
well, that's cool. Congrats on that.
Thanks, man.
So it sounds like there's not going to be any new nonprofit stuff then.
I just, you know what the thing is? I think it's just we've kind of grown musically. I think he's into different things than I am. And right. It's hard for me to take it, but I think we just kind of fell apart as friends too. You know, we just have different interests. And, right. You know, he was my best friend for like 20 years. So it's tough for me to even talk about. But I respect him, you know, and as a musician, I think he's amazing. So, you know, you never know. You never know what might happen in the future. Right. You know what yep. I mean? You can rap. I mean, people are showing you can rap into your 50s. I mean, I don't think Chuck D's in his 50s, but
he's getting there.
He's getting there. But I mean, why put an age limit on it? You never know. Right. Maybe we'll do something in our 40s. Who knows?
Yeah.
So
that's cool. World premiere five.
Yeah.
That'd be three, but
for sure.
Yeah. So it sounds like the honorable mention is this going to be the last one, part four?
Yeah. I was thinking about that too, because there's still people that I didn't get a chance to either find the right beat for, or they just had other things going on that I would like to work with in the future. So possibly there might be another one down the line. But I took 3 months off after the first three volumes because I was just beat. And I've got 30 songs in this next one, so probably be taking another 3 months off.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, it's like I'm not inspired to write my own songs, but I am inspired to make beats and produce and engineer people's stuff. So,
right.
You know, maybe that'll spark another one. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see.
That's cool. So how do you know, this is obviously a lot of work here. You work a full-time job, you do this. How do you balance this with your family life and everything?
My wife, she knows that I can't turn this switch off. And she also knows that I have to find a way to balance it. My studio is in my basement, which works out great because if, you know, son's going to bed or something, I can sneak down there for a quick 30 minutes. I also have a few hour break during the day, which is great because I do my school bus thing in the morning and then I have about 3 or 4 hours off and then I go back. So I can knock a bunch of it out during the day,
right?
Which is big. But I, you know, like right now I was telling you, I'm just mixing and getting files from people and it's like nonstop. So and she, you know, she knows she's been through this process before. When there's a deadline, like I gotta get it done,
right.
And she probably is not gonna see me very much. And then after that, it's good. You know what I mean? That was hard for both of us in the beginning. Like she didn't like that. You know what I mean? But you know, it's been quite a few albums later, and she understands. So I have a lot of making up to do after this gets done. Right. So yeah, but she's been. I mean, without her, you know, being supportive of me, there would be none of this.
That's so important.
It is very important.
I think when I was doing the Lunatics thing, my wife was, she just basically accepted it. She didn't like it, but right. She accepted it, which was important. But once I shut all that down, you know, now I always, there's always something that I got to be doing. Right. You know, I can't just be stagnant. You know, you gotta. I think it's healthy for your mind, your body, everything to just be doing something.
Right.
And that's why we're here right now.
True.
You know,
and it's not. It would be different if we were clubbing and spending a bunch of money. I mean, we're doing something that's, you know, we're not getting in any trouble and doing anything bad to ourselves or anybody else. So.
No meth here, kids.
There ain't no blue meth in this moment.
So any plans of any solo albums then after this, or just going to see what happens?
I every time I get done with one, I'm like, I've said everything I've had to say, you know. So I think with me, it's just soaking up some more life experience. And my life just doesn't change very much. Like, I work and come home and, you know, watch my daughter play basketball. And it's just, I don't travel very much, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? I don't really... You know, I don't know. I don't have any plans to do anything right now, but I always say that, and then something will come up. You know,
right.
So change of scenery usually helps with me. I was driving out in Minneapolis for 13 years, and then I drove in Mounds View the past 2 years, and I was like, I was writing so much, and it was so strange to me, but I was like, it's got to be the change of scenery.
Right.
You know, so, but
so the current change of scenery might...
Well, I mean, I was focused on the honorable mention thing.
Okay.
So that's kind of, I think, my inspiration where it's going this time.
Right.
It's just in that. So, but yeah, I mean, there could be something. But I just, you know, when I write songs, like, I write songs about stuff that's real particular to myself, and not everybody can get into it. But there's a certain few people who have, you know, families similar to mine and go through certain things that I write about, which is, I mean, that's what you want as an artist.
Right.
You want the whole world to be able to relate. But if one person every now and then is like, wow, that really influenced me or affected me, it's like, okay, well, that is kind of fuel for the fire. You
right.
know? So, you know, you never know. We'll see.
That's, you know, and I am definitely a listener that really likes the personal. That's what I like about your music is that, first of all, I respect the fact that you do the whole package from beginning to end, you know, and the personal subject matter on top of that. That's what I like about Brother Ali, you know. Mm-hmm. That's an artist that it's real,
right?
It just makes it more real,
for sure.
You know?
More, yeah, but you feel just like I said, man. It's about connecting. Like, fans want to feel involved somehow, you know, and they want to connect. And he does that very well, you know.
So no plans of a solo album then. Honorable mention part 4 coming out.
It is a tongue twister.
Yes.
Yep, that's going to be out February 1st, which is Friday, coming up. And then there's also a show at the Nomad the same night. It's just kind of a celebration. I've got like 30 performers going to do their song off.
Sounds like a rap show.
It's
normal
a
rap show.
Yeah, right, pretty much. Well, not
30 rappers on one stage.
Yeah, right. But it's going to be just kind of rapid fire back to back. I got Nemo the Hooligan is going to hold down a set. Kush Picasso is going to hold down a set. Nemo's super cool. He's effortless with the cuts. Like, he lives right by me. So
he does.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool.
So he was just over the other day and knocked out a couple songs. And I'm just like, and he just got off work. He was in his work clothes, and his turntables have been in his car all day. And so they were cold, and we had to wait for him to warm up. And then he gets started, and he's just like, I'm just like, yep, that's it. That's a keeper. You know what I'm saying? So
nice.
And then Kush Picasso is going to hold on a set. And then I got Glo Pesci of the Abstract Pack is going to play all local music the rest of the time. So
nice.
It's going to be fun. It's free. It's at the Nomad. It's 21 plus. And it should be pretty historic, I think. So
cool. Well, where can people check out your music? Where can they go to see you online?
All the honorable mention stuff is on djbooth.net. And I think if you just search for honorable mention or Big Jess, it'll link you to it. There's no like actual direct page in there.
Okay.
But I'm an artist in that website, and the DJ Booth thing was just kind of came about out of nowhere. I did a song with Mally and Muja Messiah on one of my solo albums, and they put it up there, and I was like, oh, this is dope. And they had like 30,000 followers at the time, and I just asked him. He was like, you know, get at DJ Booth for any hosting things, like, you know, we'll see if we can host it. And I was like, yo, you want to host this? And he was super cool with it. So then they got like 50,000 followers right now, and I'm like, that's pretty huge. So
nice.
yeah So that was really good for me. So it's the honorable mention stuff is there. unknownprofits.com has free downloads there. I think both of my last solo albums are there for free, a couple of Mad Sun tracks, a couple of Unknown Profits tracks. And then if you search like Bandcamp or SoundCloud and Big Jess. It's, there's stuff there too. I'm going to work on getting my own website soon. So I could just put everything there.
I know
a guy that does websites?
I do. I know a guy that does websites.
You do?
I do.
Does his name rhyme with yours?
It rhymes exactly okay. with Rob.
Well, then,
as a rapper, I don't know if I would want to rhyme Rob with Rob unless you use it in the
People
whatever,
do that crap whatever. All the time. Oh, that bugs me too, man. It'd be like, and they think they're the cool, so cool, and they say it twice. Like, yo, I'm in the street packing heat. You know what I'm saying? Me and my squad, yo, we packing heat. Like, no, you got to rewrite that, man.
Kanye does that.
Oh, it bugs me. Yeah. Sometimes it's cool if it is like the entendre thing or something, like it's kind of cool. But when you just are rhyming the same word again,
right?
It's lazy. So there's my hate. So I just go up and down.
Like, there it is. Yeah. You know, coming right back up. Yep. That's how you got to end it.
There you go.
All right. Yeah. Well, thanks for coming by, Jess. Appreciate it, man.
And one last plug to your boy on the mic. Thank you, Rob, is doing the graphics for Honorable Mention 4. And it's pretty sweet.
It's unlike anything you've ever seen.
It is. It's kind of like got this gargoyle thing. It's 4D. Like, it makes you want to like dress up and listen to rap. So
yeah.
It's super dope, and I appreciate it. And so check it out February 1st. It'll be on DJ Booth.
Thanks for coming by. Thank you, Rob.com.
Thank you, Rob.com, baby.
Go there. Listen to the podcast. Listen to other episodes. You can check out some of my other stuff I do in graphic design. And I design t-shirts. There's some crazy t-shirts out there that you can't find in any store anywhere in the world. I don't know about that, but... I also do another podcast with my buddy Chuck. It's called Some People's Kids Podcast. We talk about entertaining TV, music, movies, stuff like that. Useless knowledge, man. This is where you get it. Right here. ThankYouRob.com.
Peace. I'm not running, nigga. I bust my gun in. Hold on. I hear somebody coming. Come in fast again. Just getting close. Huh? It's right over here. You sure it's Biggie Smalls crib, man? I'm sure, motherfucker. Come on. You better be his motherfucking house. Fuck, man. This better be this motherfucker's house. Oh, shit. What? What's wrong? It's that red dot on your head, man. What is that? Oh, shit. You got a red dot on your head, too. Oh, shit!